Hey guys, welcome back to the Law of Attraction Secrets podcast. I'm your host, Natasha Graziano. Today on the show, we have Kiana Saunders, childcare expert, entrepreneur, founder, inspiration. She is so awesome. Today, we're going to dive into all things around entrepreneurship, around women building businesses, about believing in yourself, about everybody that you need to leave behind so you can get ahead, about having a breakthrough from your breakdown, how to go forward in life and take over whatever it is you're doing and be the best at who you are, collaboration, and so much more. If you want to learn about a childcare expert and all the things that come with that, children and wonderful things for our beautiful futures with them and legacy, this is a beautiful episode for you. Welcome to the show, Kiana Saunders. So nice to have you here, girl. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Okay, so what made you get into childcare? Like, you're an expert in this, you're an influencer in this, but what made you take that leap of faith and go into this?
So I got into childcare when I was about 14, 15 years old because my grandmother was an in-home provider. Children were always at my home. They never went home. And my grandmother used to watch children after hours because not everybody works a 9-to-5 or a traditional hour. So she did tend to a lot of single moms. So I wound up growing up in childcare and the children just always being there. So I took a love for children, especially babies. So that's what made me get into childcare, just being around them all the time. The love that I had for watching little babies, and then started babysitting everyone's family members' children, neighbors' children. So just took a liking to it.
That's so beautiful. I love that. I think there's something for everyone. And what's so beautiful is seeing women who just follow their heart. Mm-hmm. And you're a mother yourself.
Yes, I am.
So you have the actual experience, which is so great. What made you believe that you could build something this big, though?
Well, originally when I started, I just was saying, well, I'm going to open a 24-hour childcare facility because there were no 24-hour childcare facilities that I knew of, and I knew that it was needed. And after being in the car business, and that's a whole another story, but after having multiple businesses and just taking a leap of faith, I opened my first facility in 2014. And when I opened a facility, I was like, oh, I can do this. You know, I can expand. I can have several facilities because I grew so fast. I didn't think that, you know, that I would be full to capacity so soon. And so I just started looking for other opportunities. So in 2018, I had my second childcare facility, which was only 4 years later, which is on a college campus. And then 3 years later, I had my third facility. So it just kept going on and on and on. So I was like, I'm just going to expand and, you know, try to create this wonderful brand and hopefully franchise one day. So I saw the vision and just decided to go for it.
Well, what was the hardest moment in building your business?
Oh, my gosh. That's a great question. The hardest moment was just being able to acquire the staff and keep up with my competitors. Because sometimes when you start in a business, it's hard to find quality staff and good staff and be able to match salaries, especially with your competitors that have been in the business for maybe 100 years, 50 years, or a lot of the corporate or franchise childcare facilities. Mm-hmm. So just being able to have loyal staff and hopefully them believe in the Sandbridge vision, my vision. So I think that's the hardest part.
Did you ever want to quit?
Yes. Every day.
So I still want to quit, girl.
Every day, because you're always going to face challenges, whether it's staffing issues or, you know, whether it's, you know, issues, outside issues, or it's so many challenges in childcare that you go through, dealing with parents, dealing with teachers, dealing with students. You have some children that might have, you know, IEPs or behavior issues or just challenges. So it can be overbearing sometimes.
You know what? Sometimes it feels like the life is against us. It feels like the world is coming in on us. It feels like people are telling you you're never going to do it.
Yes.
And it's when we go against those voices. It's when we say, no, I'm not going to listen to the noise. I'm not going to listen to the chaos. I'm not going to listen to the people who are trying to put me down because I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for the masses.
Exactly.
I'm doing it for the children. I'm doing it to save lives. I'm doing it to impact people. Mm-hmm. And we start to realize, I don't need your opinion.
Yes.
And when you stop needing the validation of somebody who is underqualified in the fucking first place to be giving you advice, you soar.
Mm. Oh, the haters are real. The haters are definitely real. I
you
do want to say that.
Even
oh,
being
yes,
in this field?
Yes. I will say that you have a lot of people that don't think that you deserve it or you deserve to be in a position mm-hmm. that you're in. People don't know my story and don't know how hard I worked, and they just you judge you based off of your character or how you look or how you dress or, you know, whatever it was. It could be from high school, you know, it could be from college, you know, stuff. Oh, I remember when she was like this. Oh, I remember when she was like that, you know. They always want to talk about your past, you know, things that have happened in your past. It's never, oh, you know, oh my gosh, look at her now, you know, look at the positivity, look at the impact she's making, look what she's doing for the community. You know, she's fierce, you know. Oh, maybe, you know, maybe we can learn from her, you know, because I am a advocate of entrepreneurship. Mm. Like, my goal is to be able to help other women, you know, go through the journey of opening childcare facilities or offering workshop classes or whatever I can do to help them start their business, right? So people don't look at those things. They just, it's always the negative things that they look at. So I definitely get a lot of hate, not a lot of support. And it's okay, because it used to be times that I used to be upset, or I used to worry about what people think, or I would cry, or I would, you know, try to make friends. Like, that was my biggest issue, like trying to make friends or trying to be accepted. But I had to get to a point where I had to just focus on me and focus on Kiana.
Amen, sis.
And what's best for Kiana. And I feel like, you know, what God has for me is for me. And, you know, if it's my time, well, not if, it is my time. I'll say that. Let's change that. It is my time. And I just feel like that, you know, I just have to stay focused and just really have faith and kind of keep the background noise out of it.
I agree. And when you said earlier, you know, people want to focus on who you were then. Let me tell you, we're not the same people that we were 5 years ago, let alone yesterday. I feel bad for the people that don't get the opportunity to know me today.
Yes.
The people that don't know this version of me, but they're stuck on the past, but stay there. Because I have no problem with cutting off people who I have things in common with from my past, because I'm trying to be around people who I have things in common with my future.
Exactly.
That's where you want to be. You want to be in that alignment where you can be around people who are like, you're doing shit together, you're building together. Like, I know I could sit at lunch with you and we'd be like, entrepreneurship, what are we doing? Like,
yes.
You know what I mean? People have a business built by the end of lunch.
Right.
Because we're those kind of women. Mm-hmm. We're fearless. And it doesn't matter what we look like. Mm-hmm. You know, as soon as I go on stage, you know how many people look at some of the things that I wear? Because I, you know, I like to wear nice things. Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, oh. Or even they watch a woman go on stage in a little mini dress and they just go, oh. And they go to U-turn. But the minute I speak, I come out there and I watch them U-turn from that U-turn they had started to do and come right back around a bit. Mm-hmm. Whoa. Mm-hmm. Okay. She's educated. She's smart. Oh, and she sound like that?
Right.
Don't judge a book by its cover.
That's right.
How the fuck are people going to judge a book by its cover?
Right.
Because every time I've judged a book, you know how wrong I was? So bad. Like, I've been wrong. Like, from every time I've ever looked at somebody and said, they're going to be like this. Because they're nothing like it.
Mm-hmm. I've had someone had came back to me and I was going to be a part of the governor's event to help with his campaign and donations. And someone came back to me and said, oh, don't get her. She's nothing but a ghetto makeup party girl.
What?
Makeup wearing party girl. I have 2 degrees. I graduated from University of Maryland Eastern Shore with a bachelor's degree in human services, and I minored in business administration. I graduated from Fashion Institute of Technology and majored in fashion merchandising and advertising and marketing. I'm very educated, you know, so that kind of got to me.
It's like that movie, Legally Blonde.
Right.
Same thing.
And I was just like, you know, wow, like this is what they've been. The same people that want to be around you and or that are around you are in your circle is the same ones that go back, you know, and say certain things. So that's how I had to learn to kind of cut my circle down and just kind of really, really, really find out who genuinely believes in me, who really loves me. So I didn't understand the phrase that it's lonely at the top. But now I do. Girl, now I understand it.
Oh my God, I can tell you all about that. It's so lonely. There are nights when you're on your own, but that's what it's like when you're building a business.
Yes.
You know this. You've done this for years. You know, we build businesses on our own. We don't have people around us. We have time to go out to the clubs mm-hmm. and do all those things. We are building. We are working. We are with our children. And then when somebody says, can I come over? No. Mm-hmm. I'm working on me. Mm-hmm. I don't have time to be thinking about you and those dramas and those problems. I am so focused on what I'm doing, and it's why I'm so successful at what I do. You know, I always say to people, you wouldn't even know who I am if I didn't put in that work behind the scenes. I work harder than anybody I know. You know, some people are like, okay, 5:00, don't text me. And then you see them go, hey, I'll talk to you tomorrow. It's late now. I'm like, that's why you will stay at that salary level.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't reply, because I'm with my kids, I'm not going to reply. I just can't reply. But I'm not going to tell you that after 5 p.m., I'm not replying until 9 a.m. the next morning. Because
right.
with those hours, I promise you, I'm building a third business.
Exactly.
I'm building a fourth business. I use my hours so wisely. And you are definitely somebody who has done that. You've built so much. And at the same time as being a mom, and you were a single mom. Right. Like, mm-hmm. you were a single mom too. Same as me. Like, I feel like we have a tenacity that other people don't have. I'm telling you.
That's true.
We have the support of a husband to go, hey, babe, just take the kids for 5 minutes.
Exactly.
It's like, no, it's all on me. Mm-hmm. There is no, I'm going to take a break for a month because I know my husband's got it. No, no. When you're a single mom.
You have to do everything. It's no break.
Chef.
You got to cook. You got to clean.
Nanny.
Nanny. Drop them to school. Yeah. Make sure they're doing their schoolwork. Make sure they're passing. And don't get started on the extracurricular activities like sports.
My son's in two of them right now, and I'm like, my Sundays used to be at church and now it's at soccer.
Right.
Yep. And
they have to travel. You got to make sure they get to their games. They got to be there early. You can't miss the game. They got to be at practice.
Yeah. Girl, how do you balance being a CEO and a founder?
Well, I don't know. I just do it. My kids are older now. One is 17 and the other one will be 20 next month. So, and they actually work at my facility. So that's good. I'm trying to train them on a business, and they're both teachers and aides. But the balance is just pursuing my goal, like just pursuing my vision. I know what my vision is. I know what I want, you know. And I keep myself balanced by just, now I have an assistant, a virtual assistant. So I kind of, you know, try to stay on schedule with things. So I have my assistant scheduling things. And then I just do my daily routines, which is checking my emails on my conference calls and things. So just staying consistent.
Love it. Mm-hmm. What sacrifices have you had to make talking about this?
A lot. I've made a lot of sacrifices. I know when I was first starting my business, you know, I was struggling. You know, there was times that, you know, maybe I was short on rent. You know, there were times that maybe my BG&E bill might have got cut off because I had to, you know, invest my money in other places when it was pertaining to the business so that I could grow. Back then, I would say, you know, a lot of people probably didn't think that I was going to make it. I was trying to finish my business plans, and I went to a lot of banks to get loans, and it was no, 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 no. And I finally got that yes. So just being able to be consistent and have faith. I would say faith is really, you know, really what did it for me and made me be able to get to the place I am today.
It's beautiful. I really respect it. Like, you're a hardworking woman, and there's somebody out there today who I know needs to be inspired by that. Like, some people are struggling at home with their kids and like, how do I start a business? How does somebody start a business from home right now?
I think the first thing to do is, like I say, know what you want. Create your business plan. Once you create your business plan and you actually go through your business inside out to know how you want to run your business, what exactly you want for your business. Then after that, I would say to get like a financial advisor. If you can't find a financial advisor, you could get a accountant. Or at that time, I just went to a tax preparer, you know, someone that can help you with your budget. Once I think you have those two things in place, then you can kind of do anything that you want to do. Being able to have the financial support behind it is definitely a must, because a lot of banks and stuff don't want to give loans out to startup businesses, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're able to save any money up, on the side and invest money into your business. Some people take their 401k plans that maybe if they worked a state job or something over an amount of years, they use that to invest in themselves and then they go get a loan as well. So I think like maybe starting with those steps would be the best thing to do. And getting mentorship or having like a business consultant.
Ooh, heavy on that, girl. I'm telling you, like I mentor so many people, and the ones that get the mentorship, and I have mentors, and the ones that do it go so much further faster. We collapse decades into days. You don't need to wait years to be able to achieve those goals. Right. You've got an accountability partner every single day who is in your corner. You're having sessions. You have to show up. You have to do the homework. Yes. You have to put in the work. That makes such a difference.
It does.
Massive difference. Like, I cannot tell you the difference that my life has gone in since I got mentors. Mm. Before that, I just don't know what I was thinking. I didn't even understand about opening businesses and LLCs, and my mentor showed me. Mm. And then they said, when you get to America, and I did, and I arrived here, you need to do this, you need to do that. And like all those things have changed my game, you know. And then they would say, do this, do this. You want to do funnels, you need all this processes with like a low ticket, a mid ticket, high ticket. I didn't even know what that was until I got a mentor.
Yeah. And I think they also, they're a great support system because they help you believe in yourself.
For sure.
Like you definitely can't run a business if you don't, you know, if you don't believe in yourself and if you don't really have the aggressiveness to be able to be consistent and persistent. You have to be persistent because you can get, you know, you're going to get 10 doors that close on you. All you need is that one door to open up.
What do ambitious women need to stop apologizing for?
I think they need to stop apologizing for just maybe saying that they don't have the help or they don't have the support. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of ambitious women saying that, oh, I don't have, making excuses. A lot of them make excuses to, you know, why things are not happening, or maybe things might not be happening fast enough. So I think that's one of the issues with ambitious women as well. So I feel like if they stop making excuses and they just focus on what it is that they want to achieve and just kind of weed out, you know, all the background noise, then, you know, they'll get closer to their success goals.
It's beautiful. Why do some entrepreneurs manage to scale and others stay stuck?
I think others stay stuck because people are scared to take risk. I think that's a big issue. You have a lot of people that are comfortable where they are. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't want to take risk. Like, we'll utilize working a 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people go to 9-to-5 because it's living paycheck to paycheck, right? Mm-hmm. So they know the money is always going to come either weekly or it's going to come bi-weekly. When you're trying to start your own business, you don't have that leverage. You don't know when it's going to, you don't know when you're going to explode, right? And when you're going to be successful. So I think that is one of the reasons is a big risk factor. Me, I've always been a risk taker. You know, I've been the one since I was a little girl to say, come on, grandma, grandpa, let's get on a roller coaster, you know? And so I've always been a person that takes risks. So I think that's the biggest challenge, because people are scared, like they don't, if you don't know where your next source of income is going to come from, you know, that's a risky thing, because you have a livelihood, you have your family you have to take care of, you have children you have to take care of, or families, or whatever your situation is, you still have to have a roof over your head. So I think not knowing where your next dollar comes from is really what scares people. And that's why people are scared to take, you know, certain risks when it comes to starting their own business.
What's one myth the entrepreneurs think is true?
One myth.
Or one myth the entrepreneurs feel about having it all?
I would say, let me think, a myth.
Maybe like they're told they have to be born into it, or they're told that they can't have multiple businesses, or I don't know. Maybe they.
Well, I've heard that one, that they told that they can't have multiple businesses, which is a crock of shit. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I mean, I take, for instance, I look at myself. Like I said in the beginning, I know a lot of people didn't think that I would get to where I am today. And as of today, I have 5 facilities, right?
Wow.
I have 5 childcare facilities. And then I also have 2 facilities that are opening right now, going through the build out and demolition process. So I think that anything that you want to do, you can put your mind to it. And then like I have a substance abuse facility that I have a partner with as well. And some nonprofit organizations too. So I just feel like that if you have a vision and you see it, like my vision is to be the next leading childcare provider and worldwide, national, international, to be the biggest childcare influencer and just to be a billionaire one day. So with that being said, I just feel like that. Whatever you put your mind to, you can do. And if you, they say the sky's the limit, right? So just do it. Just do it. It's plenty money out here for everyone, right?
That is such a great point.
With your competitors of people trying to compete, because you know this one might not want to help you with build your brand, or that one might not want to help you build your brand because they feel like that, you know, you're going to do better than them, right? So it's plenty money out here for everyone to make. So that's a big thing with me, with just trying to build partnerships and trying to talk to different women, because women can be catty, mm-hmm, right? So mm-hmm. a lot of women don't want you to have more than what they have. And I've been through that as well. It might be getting off a topic, but I've been through that as well. So you just have to, kind of
stay focused.
Love that. But
by the way, talking about the abundance piece, this is the law of attraction. Abundance is everywhere. Mm-hmm. There is enough money for every single one of us. There's enough in every single area. You could have 2 nail stores next to each other. Mm-hmm. They're both going to make money. And it just depends on their mindsets, their belief systems. You can have 2 of everything next door to each other and they both do very well. There is somebody spending everywhere because money is a cycle. Mm-hmm. We literally go today, we go buy a coffee, that money comes back to us through something else. Every time we spend money, it is returned to us. Mm-hmm. Abundance is the core of our world. Abundance is everywhere. Look at the ocean. Look at the trees. Look at the sky. There's so much of it. It will never run out. The ocean will never run out. It is mm-hmm. everywhere. It's so beautiful to witness. And when we start tapping into that abundant mindset and knowing I'm abundant, abundance is my birthright. Abundance is everything I deserve. And when you tap into that and you believe it, are you into that stuff? Are you into mindset?
Yes, I am. I just don't, and I'm going to want to ask you a question. What do you think that it is with women, why it's so hard for us, some of us, to collaborate together and work together so that we can build empires, you know, mm-hmm. and have like really, really successful businesses. And when I say that, I mean like multi-million, billion-dollar businesses. Mm-hmm. You have women that are on that are wealthy, or women that are celebrities, right? And I've looked up to certain women, and you know, they see you and they look at you as a threat, you know, or not wanting to help you get to the next level, or not wanting to partner. And it doesn't have to be a business partnership. When I'm talking, it could be more of a mentor partnership, more of being an inspiration, more of a being motivated. And I just, when it comes to women, I don't see that, especially in African-American women.
Interesting. It's everywhere. And it is in so many different cultures, and mm-hmm. you just see it across everywhere I've ever been. And the reason for it, which I say to everyone I ever, you know, talk to about this topic, is it's an insecurity in them. Mm-hmm. They feel, and I'm going to give you an example of this right now, a metaphor. They feel that if you get ahead, mm-hmm. they are going to lose. They think that they lack from your win. So they feel this dissonance between it, like, oh my God, if she does better than me, it means I'm going to get less money. If she makes a billion, I'm only going to make a million.
Right.
They feel a less feeling. That's a problem within themselves. That's a mindset of lack that they have within themselves that they want to work on, and maybe they don't want to work on. And that's why they have jealousy in their life. They have problems. They project, like they look at someone with something nice and they think, oh, why has she got it? Rather than, thank you, God, for showing me that that person has the beautiful home on the beach with the Rolls Royce and the nannies and the this that I want, because I know one day I will have that too. So that's what I used to do when I was young. I used to be like, wow, that person has the car I want. I don't know, I'm going to get it. And I did.
Right.
Like, because I had a different mindset towards it. And so I'm going to give you this example. What happens is, whenever you tell a stranger about your news, have you ever found the stranger to be way more happy for you than your friend?
Yes.
You know why? Because the stranger doesn't know you from Adam.
That's right.
The stranger didn't come from the same place you came from. The stranger meets you as you are today and sees you for your success today and is excited to meet you today. So they're happy for you. But your friend who came from the same place you did in that same town that you came from is still in that same small town that you maybe came from, and you managed to get out and they are still in the same place you left them in their eyes. So now they see it like you escaped. Right. Why is she different? How did she get out? And I'm still earning the time for money problem, and I'm stuck in the town I always was in and in the mindset I always was in. That's why your friends are never really going to be as happy for you as strangers, unless you have really pure friends who are just bouncy and bubbly and want your success too.
Right.
But it's because they don't want to see you get out of the same place that they came from too.
Yeah.
All right. I want to talk briefly about childcare, because we have a big crisis across like the world, you know, with childcare. What do most people not understand about the childcare industry?
I think most people don't understand what the teachers go through, just being educators. You have to, and teachers don't make, childcare teachers do not make any money. And when I say any money, I mean, you know, they make like the bare minimum. And I think that the parents, you know, don't understand that. You have the teachers, most teachers that are in childcare are in it because they love children, because they love working with children, and that's their niche. That is what they do. I mean, they, it's within their hearts. You know, it's not about the money. And I think a lot of parents don't understand that or don't value it. That's what I think the biggest issue is. They don't value it. And they are hard workers, because it's a lot working with children. It really is. I mean, you have to, you know, just it's like being a second mom to them. You know, you got diapers you have to change. You have feeding. You have a curriculum. My child care facilities are like schools. So we have a curriculum. We use Frost Street curriculum. So like teaching them the curriculum, and especially dealing with their cognitive development and their emotional development, you know, trying to teach the babies young. That's a lot of work. I mean, we love doing it. It's a lot of work, but they don't make that much money, you know, so it's really out of the love that they have for their heart. And the childcare industry is really struggling right now when it comes to parents, because we've lost the childcare funding for parents to be able to afford the childcare fees. So that's a really big issue that's going on right now, because the childcare funding has been taken away.
That's wild. So what do they do when they come?
So they either have to pay out of pocket when they come, or like my facilities have a grant that they get every year, but the grant is only for 3 and 4 year olds. And my facilities start at 6 weeks. So we start at babies up until 12 years old. So the grant is only for the pre-K pre-K kids, because it's a grant that actually allows them to get ready for starting kindergarten and first grade elementary school. So outside of that, we don't have the scholarships and vouchers that they used to get. Some parents have them right now, but there is a waiting list. So if you were already receiving the scholarships and vouchers, you're fine. But if you are like just had a baby, or if you are a new parent trying to apply to get some type of tuition assistance, it's not there. So it's, you know, it's really taking a toll. I know a lot of child care providers, you know, we give the discounts that we can give to help the parents, but at the end of the day, we still have to pay our staff. We still have overhead, you know, that we have to pay to keep our business running. So we can't give, you know, 50 and 80% discounts because we would fail at the end of the day. So just being able to be able to find that child care assistance when it comes to tuition has been a big challenge. I believe it, I think it's been almost like 2 years now since it's, since we haven't had the assistance.
Mm. How can investing in children change an entire community?
Oh my gosh. It can change. I mean, you have to think of the children. The children will be the community one day. So you want to invest in the children. You want to pour into the children, because that same child, 15, 20 years a day from today, will be your doctors, your lawyers, you know, they'll be your entrepreneurs, you know, or your surgeons, your med techs, or whatever you need. So really investing in the children's education and making sure that they have proper needs, and you're installing whatever curriculum that each facility uses is definitely an investment, because it's actually helping them prepare for school and helping them, you know, be whatever it is that they want to be. We always ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? So,
that's so cute.
And they answer. We get bogus answers. But it's cute. You know, it's cute in your own way. So
what's the biggest mistake that parents make when raising children?
I think the biggest mistake that they make is not allowing the children to be themselves or have their own minds. You know, a lot of times the parents, you know, if they're in a certain profession, I see this all the time, like when they say, oh, you're going to be a lawyer one day, you're going to do this or you're going to do that. I think that children, well, it's been a study, it's a curriculum called creative curriculum, which is by Teacher Strategies, and it's children learning through play. I think the best thing is to allow children to learn through play, allow them to be able to mimic those professions, or mm-hmm. be able to have their own minds, right? To have whatever creativity that they want to have. So I think parents make the mistake of kind of trying to guide them into being certain individuals, or kind of guide them into doing certain things where they should be able to make their own decision, or either be able to learn on their own to say, oh, okay, this is what I want to do.
For sure. It's beautiful. You're such a wonderful guest. Thank you so much for coming today, Queen. We loved it. We're going to put all your handles below. Everything is there so our guests can tap in with you. Guys, I hope you enjoyed today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Bye for now.